Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all. Today we'll be talking about encouragement and how to encourage one another. Before we do that, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the encouragement of your holy word. We thank you for your grace and peace and strength. And we ask now that you will encourage us through today's broadcast. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so here at Insights for Eternity, we teach those who teach others. So get out your Bibles, pens, and notebooks as we look at the idea of encouraging one another. And let's just look at 1 Thessalonians 2:11-12. 1 Thessalonians 2:11-12. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and encouraged and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you would have a walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. So why are we encouraging people? We're encouraging people to have a walk worthy of God who calls us into his own kingdom and glory. So encouragement has a purpose. We encourage people to do the will of God. We encourage people not just to make them feel better, which is also a very good thing. People should help people to feel better. But we don't want to encourage people in sin, and we don't want to encourage people in unbelief. We want to encourage people to walk worthy of the will of God, to say, yes, it's going to be okay. You just stick with Jesus. You read your Bible. You pray. You get to church. You obey the Lord Jesus Christ. You love one another. And we encourage and exhort people to do the right thing and not the wrong thing. You see, there's a lot of false encouragement out there. There's these prosperity preachers who encourage people to believe in themselves. Well, we're not encouraging anyone to believe in themselves. We're going to encourage you to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So, well, we're not going to encourage you to believe in a country, a nation, a political party, or to a particular method of making money. We're not going to encourage you to believe in those kind of things. We're going to encourage you to believe in Jesus and to do the will of God and to walk holy and worthy of him. Now, there are some people who go out there and they encourage people to tolerate sin. They say, oh, God loves you. It's going to be okay. You just do what you like, etc., etc. And that may sound encouraging. It may sound uplifting. It may help people's feelings. But you're not, that person doing that is not encouraging them to walk worthy of the Lord. We want to encourage people to be holy, to be righteous, to abstain from sexual immorality, to be honest in all their dealings, to love people and to live a high and holy life out of the fear of God. So we want people to abstain from all the sins of this world, which is a tough thing to do, and then to walk worthy of the Lord. So let's keep staying in Thessalonians there. Let's go over to chapter 4 and verses 13 to 18. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you have sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. By this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds in the air with the Lord, and we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Okay, so it says comfort one another, encourage one another with these words. So God is calling you to comfort one another with what? With true doctrine. with the truth about the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and about our immortal body and about the great things that we will receive at the resurrection. So how do we encourage one another to walk worthy of the Lord? We encourage one another to do this by using the Bible, by using the truths of the Scripture. So if someone passes away, say, we can say from the Scriptures there in 1 Thessalonians 4, your relative, your friend, you're the person you've loved so much, this person is going to rise from the dead. This person is going to receive a glorious resurrection because they have believed in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they will be forever with the Lord. So they don't have to worry. You don't have to worry. Comfort one another with the truth of the Scriptures. And the greatest comfort is to know that our relatives are with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this leads me to a point here. How do we encourage people? Do we just bash them over the head with the Bible? Or is there a way of encouraging people that makes a little bit more sense? First of all, we should match the emotional tone of the person who needs to be encouraged. So if they've lost a relative or a loved one or a friend, and you want to encourage them, say, oh, that must be a terrible loss. I feel for you. And be there with them. The Bible says, weep with those who are weeping. Weep with them. Sit with them. Make them a cup of tea. Make them a nice meal. Be kind and affectionate towards them and match their emotional level. Don't try and cheer them up with cracking jokes and things like that. That's not going to work. They need to know that they are being listened to. Everyone wants to be listened to and to not be acknowledged, to be seen as a human being. So sit down with them and say, gee, that's hard. You really must miss this person terribly. I feel for your loss. That's step one. And then after you said that you understand this situation, you feel for their loss, say, but you know, this is what the Scripture says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says that your friend will rise from the dead, that you will meet with them in the air, that you and they will forever be with the Lord, and that you're not going to be without them forever and ever, because God has a great and glorious day prepared when the dead shall rise, and we shall all be with the Lord in the air and forever in heaven with him, and later we will reign and rule with Christ here on this earth. So first of all, match the emotion, then bring in the Scripture that's relevant to that particular situation. And you can help people a lot by bringing the Scriptures to bear on such situations. Staying on 1 Thessalonians, let's go 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14. And here it says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. So who are to we to encourage? We're to encourage the faint-hearted. We're to encourage the people who are cast down by life, who've lost their courage. They need to be encouraged. They need to have courage be put into them to get up and go, as might have got up and gone. They're feeling discouraged. They're feeling worn down by life. They're feeling stressed out by life. And you are to be their encourager. You're to go along and help them to get their get up and go back again. And if someone's faint-hearted, if someone's cast down, if someone's overwhelmed by life, you are to be their friend and you are to be their encourager and you are to do that. So there are certain people that the Bible wants us to encourage, and those people are mainly people who are at the moment weak. You see, we're not in the weak or the strong all the time. Some strong people have a bad day where they feel weak and faint-hearted and discouraged. Some weak people have a strong day when they're on top of the world and they're full of energy. So don't categorize people. Just listen to where they're at and say, okay, this person needs some encouragement today. This person needs me to speak into their life with the strength and love of the Lord. So here Thessalonians is teaching us to encourage people, because the Thessalonians were a terribly persecuted church. They were under all sorts of bombardment from the pagan culture around them because they had turned from idols to the living God. So another group that was persecuted was the Church of the Hebrews, which is just a little bit over. And they were Jewish Christians, not Gentile Christians, but they were persecuted by the Jews for believing in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and even their property was confiscated. So let's have a look at their terrible situation. Let's go to Hebrews 3 and verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is still called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So here the problem is that they could be getting into sin, their heart could be hardened by sin, and they need to be encouraged in the will of God. Because it's easy for us to drift into sinful tendencies, sinful habits. It might be swearing, it might be being depressed and self-centered, all kinds of things, sexual immorality, whatever. We can be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin will trick you. Sin will tell you it's okay. And we need a pastor or an elder to come along and encourage us to get out of our sin and to do the will of God. And if you're a Bible study leader, a pastor, or even just a good friend, you need to come along beside people and say, no, I'm not going to let you sin. I'm going to exhort you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to stand beside you till you get out of that mess you're in and you're walking on a straight path in the will of God. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 24 and 25. And here, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so the much more as you see the day coming along, approaching. So there to exhort one another, knowing that Jesus is about to return. And so we're to stir one another up to love and good works. Because it's easy to get slack. It's easy to become self-centered. It's easy to sit down and watch television. And we need people to say, yes, we're going to get up and we're going to share the gospel. We're going to go up. We're going to help that orphan. We're going to get up and we're going to do the best we can for as long as we can to make sure that these people are blessed in Jesus Christ. Excuse me. We need to exhort people to go out there and do the good works that God has appointed for them to do. And as we see the day approaching, as we see the day of the Lord approaching, and I think we can all agree that even though it's been a very, very long time now, the day of the Lord is nearer than once before. It may seem very slow, but it is coming. And today I was reading about advances in quantum computing and artificial intelligence and the metaverse and many technological things that are happening. And the world seems to be conquered by technology, and that technology seems to be often in the service of evil and of anti-Christian things. And you think, how can we who have the gospel stand up to all this powerful technology and Bitcoin and new economic systems that seem to enslave us day by day? And as we see the great wickedness of this age coming to pass in front of us, as we're looking at things that are truly terrifying in the amount of surveillance that people can carry out, we need to say, we're going to encourage one another. We're going to encourage one another to love and good works so that we do the things that God wants us to do. We have an attitude of gratitude. We have an attitude of love. We do not give up in the face of persecution, stress, and many other things that come our way. Let's go down a little bit in here in Hebrews chapter 10. It says, verse 32, but recall the former days, in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. But you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. So these Hebrews have been terribly persecuted, as I mentioned earlier. They had their possessions seized, some were killed, some were thrown in jail. They were chained up for the sake of the gospel. And a lot of things were happening to them that were terrible and cruel. And they needed encouragement. They needed to encourage one another so that they would not lose their reward. They would not give up in discouragement and go back to being Jews and they forsake the Christian faith. The Jewish faith was a safe place. It was safe in Israel. It was safe in the empire because the Jewish religion was a legal religion. It was allowed. And yet the Christian religion was not. The Christian religion was persecuted by both the Romans and the Jews. So they could have an easy time if they went back to being Jews instead of Christians. And Paul says, don't do that. Don't throw away Christ, who is your rich reward. hang on there, and God is going to come through for you in the end. And remember the time when you rejoiced, when you said, okay, I'm suffering for the sake of Jesus Christ. Well, they'd suffered and they'd suffered and they'd suffered, and now they'd run out of sort of gas in their encouragement tank. They'd run out of the ability to suffer anymore. And Paul says, wait a second, let's try again. Let's keep on going, for you have need of endurance that you might inherit the reward that's coming to you. So you need to be able to endure, and it's hard to endure on your own. You need people to walk with you to encourage you, and you in turn need to encourage other people who might have run out of endurance, who might have run out of hope, who think it's all going to be too hard for too long. So there we are. We find that these Hebrew Christians who had gone through terrible, terrible persecution from the Jews for being Christians, for believing in Jesus Christ, for forsaking Judaism, they needed to be encouraged, and they needed to encourage one another in the love and good works. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 21 and 22. Now, in Ephesians, Paul has sent this messenger called Tychicus, and he probably carried the epistles all the way from Paul to the Ephesians. And this is what it says, Ephesians 6, 21 and 22. But that you also may know my affairs and how I am going, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may encourage your hearts. So Tychicus was sent to encourage the heart of the Ephesians, and he was to tell them what was going on with Paul and things like that. But he was to encourage the Ephesian church in the things of God. That was his role. He was to go there and make sure that they lifted up their heads, that they knew they were Christians, that Paul was with them, that Paul was praying for them. He wrote them this wonderful epistle, which has survived 2,000 years to this day. And so Paul's encouragement was there in the form of an epistle and the form of the personal presence of Tychicus, because Paul couldn't get there because he was in chains somewhere at that time. I'm not sure where. I think it must have been Rome or some other place. But he wrote to the Ephesians at this time. And so Paul was encouraging the Ephesians, and he was doing this through someone called Tychicus. And we want to be like Tychicus. We want to be someone who can come along and speak to a group of people and encourage them and exhort them to keep on walking in the will of God, to keep on believing in Jesus, his death, his resurrection, his soon coming return, and to hang in there until the bitter end of the Christian faith. Romans 1, 11 and 12. Just going back a little bit to the left in your Bible. Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. There we go. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. So here's Romans chapter 1, 11 and 12 is saying, Paul's encouraged when he sees someone else's faith, and that they would be encouraged when they saw his faith. So he wanted to turn up there and impart some spiritual gift, healing, tongues, I don't know what the spiritual gift, some spiritual encouragement to them, so that they would be lifted up. And that's what we all want to do. We want to be going to someone else and say, look, I'd like to pray for you. I'd like to put something spiritual into your life. I'd like to put love in your heart. I want you to feel the forgiveness of God. Whatever spiritual thing that you have to give to others, you give to them. And as each of us does our piece in the body of Christ, other people are encouraged by your faith, and you are encouraged by their faith. And together we build one another up in the love of God. So there might be someone who has a gift of giving a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. So they give a word of wisdom and knowledge, and that builds someone up. But in turn, that person might need healing. And so someone else will say, okay, I've got a spiritual gift to give to you. I'm going to give you healing. I'm going to heal your hand. And that person's hand is then healed. And someone else may come in and their heart is heavy and sad. And someone may say, well, I'm going to exhort you and bless you. I'm going to give you the spiritual gift of loving encouragement so your heart is lifted up. And they give that to that person. In turn, the person who's lifted up may say, oh, well, I'm a giver and I'm going to give to this church. You've lifted up my heart. I've got a gift of giving, and I'm going to give to the church and help this church to function. So We each have a spiritual gift and we can each use it to encourage one another and build one another up in the Lord. So how do we go about giving our spiritual gift to other people? Firstly, we have to know what we've got to give to the group of people. You have to know your spiritual gift, whether it is tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, teaching, administration, generosity, whatever. You've got to know what you've got to give. You can't give something you haven't got. So you have to know what your spiritual gift is. And then secondly, you have to realize where the need is. You can't just go around giving it to everybody. You've got to look for someone who actually needs that thing. So as a Bible teacher, I teach people who want to be taught. I don't want to go and teach someone who doesn't want to be taught because I'm not encouraging them. I'm just annoying them at that point in time. So in order to encourage people, you need to know what spiritual gift you've got to give to them and then find the people that truly need that gift. So if you've got a gift of healing, where do you go? You go to the sick people in the hospitals, in the clinics, or out in the villages or in the church. You say, okay, you need healing. I've got a gift of healing. Let me give this to you and I will heal you right now. I'm going to heal you of your HIV AIDS. I'll heal you of your cancer. You're healed of this or that or the other. And the person with the gift of healing heals the thing that needs to be healed right then and right there and brings encouragement and joy to the Christian church at that point and a glorious testimony to the will of God. So you and I need to think about how we're going to encourage one another in the things of God. Encouragement's a really, really important part of keeping us all going. Okay, let's look at some of the outcomes here. Let's go a little bit over from Romans. And we'll go to the right in your Bibles. We're going to go to the book of Colossians. And we're going to go to Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of the mystery of God, both of the Father and Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So why does Paul want them to be encouraged? That their hearts might be encouraged. What for? Being knit together in love and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding of the knowledge of the mystery of God, of the Father and of Christ. So we are encouraged to know God. We're encouraged to know the Father. We're encouraged to know the Son. We're encouraged to do the will of God. But before we do the will of God, we've got to know who God is. And so Paul's encouraging people to go and search the scriptures, to talk with one another about God, to come into a full knowledge of who God is. Encourage one another in learning about spiritual things. Let me say that again. We should encourage one another in learning about spiritual things. And, you know, when the kids are young, you say, your Bible's your sword, put your sword under your arm and take it out and read it. And all these things where you're encouraging young people to memorize Bible verses, to know the books of the Bible in order, you encourage them to do this. And you also encourage them in the deeper things. You drill them. What's the resurrection of Jesus about? How does that relate to the resurrection? Why did Jesus ascend into heaven? You encourage people by giving them little drills and little quizzes until they can say, yes, I know that. Yes, I know that chapter of the Bible. Now, yes, I've memorized Hebrews chapter 11. And it's good to be enthusiastic about Bible memory. Be enthusiastic about memorizing 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. It's not terribly long. Go and try and memorize Bible verses. And when they do that, say, yay, that's terrific. We are with you. And you want to encourage one another in the knowledge of God and of the mystery of Christ. And you want to encourage one another to pray and to pray to God for a revelation about God, to pray to God that all these things will become theirs in the fullness and the truth of the knowledge of God. So we don't want people to be ignorant. We don't want people to be spiritually discouraged because they don't know the Word of God. The devil relies on your ignorance in order to discourage you. If you are ignorant of the love of God, you'll think that God hates you and you will be discouraged. If you are ignorant of the faithfulness of God, you'll always be worried about money. And when there's a money crisis, you will be discouraged. If you are ignorant about the resurrection from the dead, then when your relatives pass away, you will be discouraged, thinking they have no hope, when in fact they have the great hope of the resurrection. So Bible knowledge enables us to be encouraged because we know the truth about God, we know the truth about Jesus, we know the truth about the return of Jesus and the resurrection. We know all kinds of truth that makes us solid. Remember when there's the big flood in Genesis chapter 9, God comes after the flood, the Noah's flood, and he says, oh, look, I'm not going to do this again. See this rainbow in the cloud? It means there's never going to be another flood. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to wipe out on everything on earth. And he encouraged them, and he encouraged them with his own promises and with his own theology. So even now, we can look at that rainbow in the clouds and say, God's not going to flood the earth like that ever again. But he is coming back in fire to judge the world at the end of all time. So this is God's promise to us, and we can be encouraged and we can take our stand by knowing God and knowing his promises and knowing the Bible and applying those promises to our daily situation. Promises like, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That's an encouragement that we have in the scriptures. So your encouragement comes from God. To sum up, we should encourage one another in the love of God. We should encourage one another in the knowledge of God. We should encourage one another to do the will of God and not to do sinful things or selfish things in the world. We should encourage one another by matching their emotional tone. And then we do that first. We listen to them first. Then we bring biblical exhortation to them after we have listened to them. And we encourage people with the scriptures. We encourage them and give them hope. We encourage people by giving them our spiritual gift. And we first of all, in order to give people a spiritual gift, give what we've got inside us to help other people. First, we have to know what our gift is and how to use it. And secondly, we need to know what their need is. And if that person needs us to do that for them at that particular place and at that particular time, so we can lift them up and encourage them in the knowledge of the mystery of God and the mystery of Christ. So let's encourage one another. Let's build one another up so we're not discouraged, and so that you can be a blessing to one another. So as you go out from this broadcast, as you go back to your homes and to your churches, say, hey, I'm going to be an encourager this week. I'm going to lift up my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I'm going to encourage them in the knowledge of God and in the will of God. And God will bless you for becoming an encourager, a son of encouragement, like the Apostle Barnabas. This is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.